you know, in our old ways. And he says, God forbid. Well, when you see anyone do that, that's a Nigerian. The God forbid always comes with something around the head and that. And the Bible says, God forbid that we should, because of the grace of God, continue to sin. Secondly, we have a new identity in Christ. The Bible says all things have passed away, new things have come to stay. We take off the old, we put on the new. The next one is we are no longer obligated to follow the laws, you know, the laws that were given to Moses, the Ten Commandments. We couldn't keep them anyway. That's why Christ came. Also, we're joined heirs with Christ. So we share in Christ's glory and in his sufferings. So when the sufferings come, just remember it's part of the deal. The good side and the bad side. We're joined heirs with Christ. Christ did suffer. He died. Remember in the garden, he was saying, God, if you could take this away. But it's like, no, you have to go through it. So there will be those times. But God is faithful. He will give us the strength to carry through. The other reason is that we walk by faith and not by sight. That we choose to trust God's promises. We have to choose to trust them. Just like I said about when I was afraid, I chose to trust God. Because what use will it be just sitting down there in fear, more fear? And you know, with the devil, when you let him put his foot in, he comes in fully. So he starts from fear of, oh, I don't know, do I live here, do I not? Then the next thing, you don't want to go out. The next thing, you know, and on and on, and it goes on. The fear never finishes. The next one is, we're free to serve. The Bible has called us, as we're free, we should serve one another in love. So that's one of the benefits of our freedom. So that's why when we talk about joining, you know, teams in the church, it's all part of it. Also, we're free, that because we're free, we can come boldly to the throne room of God. We can come in his presence. We don't have to beg. Your children don't beg you. They come right to you. Mom, can I? Sometimes they go ahead and help themselves. And that's what it's like with God. When we know him and we're free, we can come in his presence. And I tell you, we need to be coming in his presence, because he says we come boldly into his presence that we may find, you know, for mercy and for grace. We need the mercy. We fail. I fail. Today I failed so many times. Some I don't even know how, you know, what that I've even done wrong. But that's why we're free. That's why we can come boldly in his presence and to find grace to help us for when those times come that we're really not sure how to go about it in our day-to-day life. So those are the benefits of the freedom Christ has given us. Also, just carry on, sorry. How do we stand firm? Because remember, the scripture says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. How do we stand firm? We're free now. We know him. We acknowledge he's in our life. But how do we continue to be free? It says standing firm means we want to remain free. We're no longer tied to our old ways of life. The Apostle Paul has this to say. He said, you know, do you want to start in the spirit and finish in the flesh? It's not possible. It has to be, you start in the spirit, you finish in the spirit. Because going back to the flesh is like you're trying to do it your own way. We have to start in the spirit and finish in the spirit. And the spirit here is the Holy Spirit. It says flesh cannot help us. We cannot start in the spirit and go back to our old ways. We have to continually live in the spirit to remain in this freedom that Christ has given us. If not, what's the point? To live by the spirit, say Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are no longer under the law. The flesh and the spirit, they will, it's a battle ongoing. I mean, if you look back in your life, there are things you're still sort of like, should I? You know you shouldn't, but you are. doing them. So the flesh and the spirit, they don't, it has to be one or the other. It can't be the two at the same time. It says, remember the reason for this freedom is that our flesh has let us down. That's why we need the spirit. So to remain in this, to remain in this work with God, we need to be led by the spirit. Also, Galatians 5, 19, 21, it just tells us how the flesh manifests. Those are all the things, drunkenness, jealousy, fits of rage, and all the lots of them. So when we're in the flesh, that's all the manifestations. And when we're in the spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 25, it says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we keep walking with the Spirit. That's in step. We don't, you know, like, I'll try this my own way. We just keep walking with him. And the more we walk with him, the more we start to change. The more people start to see that change in us, our language changes. You know, the way we approach things changes. People might look and say, oh, you used to be afraid. Oh, no, I'm no longer afraid. Sometimes it's other people that even see the change in you before you see it because you think you're still the same. So that is what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love. You love, you know. Joy. There's that joy. Even in all the drama going on in life, you just find joy. There's peace. You find peace. Yes, it's true. We're in proper rough times, and I don't think it's going to get any better, but that's what the Bible says anyway. So, but we find peace in God, even with all that's happening around us. To keep in step means we walk along. We follow the Spirit as he leads us. When you're led by the Spirit, you walk and you talk by the Spirit. Same otherwise, if you're in the flesh, same thing. You walk and talk that way. Just whatever is manifest will always manifest itself in the way we do things. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have to put off the old self. We have to let all those old desires go. We have to want to walk in righteousness, in holiness, and the others will manifest. If you read further that line, down that chapter, it says, if you used to lie, if you were one who likes to lie, stop. It says, if you were one who likes to, you know, you still stop, get a job. That's what the Bible says, not me. It says, if you like stealing, stop. Get a job. Do something that other people can benefit from you too. Not just you benefiting from others. It's a change of life. It says, if you have nothing nice to say, zip it. That's what the Bible says. If it's not going to benefit other people, it's not going to bless other people, just, you know, zip it. Don't say it. It says also, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, malice, slander. You know, those nice bad words we say about other people when they're not there. And he also says that all this grieves the Holy Spirit. So that's why we need to step away from those things. Also, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave us. That struck me a lot because the Bible says we should forgive as Christ forgave us. And you know, sometimes when you look back what people have done to you, you're like, I'm not forgiving them. But the Bible says we should. We should let them go. And like I always say, the Bible says vengeance, God says vengeance is mine, I will repay. And when he repays, it's very good. So let it go. Whatever it is, just let it go. I know it's easy to stand here and say, oh, just let it go. But I tell you, when you do, you too will feel the release. Because when you've not forgiven anyone, you're also held down there. It's obvious, but you think, you know, it's they who hurt you, but you are bitter about the whole thing. So let it go and let God, you know, deal with them accordingly. Also, and now I know you say, and also if you walk in the spirit, you become sensitive. Just like Lisa said last week and has continued to say this week, you start to hear God. I know that might sound like, whoa, how do I hear God? You do. It can be a still small voice. It can be, you know, through dreams in different ways. People hear God differently. But you could just, you know, wake up in the morning, decide to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit says, don't take that route. Go the other way. You don't know why. And you choose, okay, I will obey. It can be as simple as that. It can be as simple as there's a job and it's paying more. And you're like, yeah, that's the job I'm going to. And he's saying, no, don't take that one. Because he knows. Either maybe if you go for that job, you might lose your faith or whatever. So the more we dwell in the spirit, the more we begin to hear him. The more we begin to be alert to what, you know, is happening around us. Now you say, oh, you would talk, flesh, spirit, you know, there's a lot of this talk. How do I continually live in the spirit? I'll say, eat the word of God. Jeremiah said, I ate the word of God. The prophet Ezekiel said, I ate it and it was sweet like honey. That's the word of God. It's complete. There are times I'm so amazed at the Bible. I'll read something and I'll say, this word is complete. I don't know why people say it's not complete, because it covers every area. No matter how you look at it, it's there. So the Bible says, eat the word of God. To eat the word of God, read it, hear it, memorize it, you know, whatever, internalize it, but get it, keep reading it until it becomes part of you. Sometimes at work, when people say things to me, I almost find myself replying them, you know, a scripture comes to mind and I'm like, oh, okay, we're not in church, just hold back a bit, you would. But it's because it's there, you know. So it's like a song. Like sometimes people say something and then it triggers the memory of a song in you. The same with the word of God. Someone might say something and then you say, oh yeah, the word says, and you're like, hold on, just calm down. It says, eat the word of God, just keep like a goat. Regurgitate it, chew it, you know, until it makes sense. You know, there's so many versions of the Bible. Read the one that gets you. Break it down. Sometimes I read some scriptures, I don't get it. I go to thank God for the internet, and there are all sorts of versions of the Bible. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Okay. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is active. It's alive. It's alive. It's not dead. This word is alive. You know, it's been written 2,000 years ago and so many years ago. It's still relevant for today. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, our thoughts. That's why the Bible says God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. I might be saying something nice, but what's going on in my heart are two completely different things. God knows that. And the word of God is so alive. It says, you know, when the devil came to Jesus, what did he say? He said, it is written. The tempter said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Oh, Jesus could have just told all the stones to become, you know, whatever type of bread they wanted. Maybe the one with olives and chili and, you know, those nice bread, not just the, you know, the basic one. But no, Jesus was not boastful. He wasn't, you know, he had the power and he knew that. Jesus had the power. He knew that he could have done it. But he said no. What did he say? He said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He spoke the word. We need the word of God. As much as we need food, we need the spiritual side of it. The two have to be there. One, you shouldn't also just dwell on the spiritual. There's the physical side of things too, that we need to the natural things. You know, surprise, surprise, the devil knows the scripture. How dare you not know it? So when he comes to you and challenges you, what do you tell him back? It's the scripture. If you don't know it, then that's it. He gets you. And when he's put one foot in, he puts the whole body in. The devil, of course, he was an angel up there, wasn't he? And one of the top ones before his pride and every other thing got him. So he knows the scriptures, so we better do. So when he comes to us, we can take the scriptures and slap him back in the face. Yeah? Okay. After the temptation, Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say to the devil? Away from me. You know, like, just keep walking. And that's what we should be telling the devil sometimes. And that's how we tell him with the word of God. When he says something, then we give him back. He says, oh, you're afraid and all that. I say, no, I'm not afraid. I've got the Spirit of God in me. I'm more than able. And you just give him the scripture. It's a nice way. Don't need to say get away. That's a nice way to just get him moving on. How can a young person, if we look at Psalm 119, you could read that in your spare time. There are a lot of scripture, there are a lot of things about the word of God. I'll just read some. From verse 9 to 11, it says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. So you want to live pure is the word of God. It says in 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You want direction and guidance is in the word of God. The word is better than thousands of silver and gold. Wow, don't we all want silver and gold? But the word is even better than that. So the word is so precious. It says it's flawless, it's true, it's perfect, it's pure. It has been tried in the furnace 7 times. And I'm sure to a goldsmith, they will say, wow, maybe that's too many times. I don't know how many times you have to purify these things in the fire. But I'm sure if the Bible says it's been done 7 times, it means it's a lot of times that the word of God is so pure. There is no impurity in it. That is how the word of God is. You want insight. It says the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, maybe you just knew in the faith, and we're all simple, even if we've been in the faith for a very long time. The word of God will show you. You could say, where do I start from? I don't understand it. How do you know, like, oh, we all started there. So read the word of God, and the Holy Spirit will explain it to you. Okay. The next one I will say to stand firm is to battle on. We are in a battle. Until Jesus comes, this battle continues. And if you think, okay, let's leave that one. It says, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:11-12, it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, most times it's humans we see, but sometimes we can just about see the spirit behind it. Have you noticed someone who starts getting angry? You know, initially they're just like, you're having this nice talk, then it's getting a little tensed, and then suddenly it's like they've put on some other spirit has entered into them. So there are spirits out there, whether good ones, bad ones, and that's why we're going for the good ones. Let's leave the bad ones today. Makes sense why this scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He said, because if you do, you will give the devil a foothold. It starts with, that's why we say words like, wow, how did we get there from 0 to 100 in a second? Yeah, we say things like that, and that's what the devil takes advantage of. You just give him one little hole, and he will take it and run the whole mile. Even you then, at that point, you're no longer in control. It's just happening, and you're just the vessel that is being used in it or someone else. So the Bible says that we do not fight against flesh and blood. Most of the things we're dealing with, even if we're dealing with the person, they're so bad, they've done this, there's something behind it. But of course, we're not going to be looking at spirits all the time. We'll be looking at humans and we'll be saying, oh, he did that, he did that, he did that. But the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world. Boy, I don't know, but I think there's something like white witches in Britain. So I would say that there are things like that. It's everywhere anyway. But I can tell you, as a child that grew up in Africa, I think I have seen a bit. Not all, but I have seen some things that proper, you know, terrified me. So there are spirits out there. So just in case you think it's all physical, there's a spiritual world out there. And that's what we're battling against. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. You know, knives and sticks and all that will not always do it. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We cannot win this battle by human strength, physical force, money, or tactics. Yes, these things are good, but they will not always solve the problem. And that's why we keep praying for more and more. If we look at Ephesians 6:13-18, it says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because it will come. The Bible is not saying it might, it's saying it will come. That day of evil will come. It's the word of God. I'm not saying mine. It's here. You may be able to stand. So if you got this full armor, when those days come, you can stand. You're not sort of taking on awares like, oh, what's happening? You're already in the spirit, so you're ready. Because you know there's a battle. You don't know when it's coming, but you're aware there is a battle. You're living in that, you know, some things will be different from the other. It says you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. We need to keep standing. To run this race to the end, we have to. That's why I say battle on. The evil day will come no matter how spiritual you are. The more spiritual you are, the more the devil wants to take you out. Because when he takes you out, he's taking some other people. So that's it. So no matter how strong you are, the Bible says, he who thinks that he's, what does it say? Let him take heed lest he fall. You know, so don't, you know, you might be so strong. I won't say I'm strong. I just go by God's strength, me. You know, but the Bible says that, you know, he who thinks he is standard or something, let him take heed lest he fall. You know, so don't think, you know, I'm all like, you know, you just keep good being in Christ, not in your own strength. Your strength should be in Christ, not your strength. It says, stand firm then. If we go down to 14 to 18, it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, you know, even in all this fooling, we still need the word of God to, you know, complete the whole regalia, or whatever you call it. We need to cover all sides. If you look at that, we're covered from the head to our toe. We're covered, our feet. The Bible says we should be ready to share the gospel. You know, not necessarily like quoting all the verses, but be ready to share. This is what Christ has done for me. Every time you get the opportunity, someone say, oh, you used to be, oh, yes, it's Christ that helped me. Yes, it's true. We should be ready to have the gospel on our feet. Not necessarily going into all other countries, but even in our day-to-day life, people ask us questions. We should be ready to say, oh, yeah. I like to sit at work. I went to church. And if people tell me their problems, say, I'm praying for you. You know, just a little. It might not go a long way, but I believe it does. You know, I'm telling them that I believe. And I ask questions. Oh, how is that and that? Because I want to know. And I also know when that prayer is answered and how it's been answered. We need faith to blow off all the doubts, the anxiety, the fears, the worries. I think there's a lot of that around lately. There's a lot of worrying about the future, anxiety, and, you know, but we need faith. That faith that changes things, that faith that causes us to still believe. We're not going by what we see. We learned about the promises of God. Jed talked to us about that. We're going by the promises. We're trusting the promises. We've not seen them come to pass, but we're still trusting. That's the faith. We're not going in fear. We're walking in faith. We need to put on the whole armor, complete. We don't need any part of our body exposed, so the devil doesn't use that as an avenue. And we need to pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's why we pray for our church. We commit everyone into God's hands, because what use is it if I'm winning and you're not? We carry everyone along. But please, if someone wants to pull you down, don't go down with them. Leave them there. Keep walking up. Don't forget to pray for the rest of us. We need to cover everyone else. There's strength in numbers. So let's keep pulling everyone along. The Bible also says, "Behold, I will give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he's giving us the power. But we need to know that power is in the word. If we read the word, then we get it. So when we're facing challenges, we use the word back to that challenge. In Revelations 12, 10, 11, it says, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies." The Bible says we're overcomers. It says we're conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We can do this thing through the blood. It's the blood. That's where it first started. The blood of Jesus, that he died on the cross for us. He shed that blood. That's where this all started from. The blood helps us. It sees us. It's for protection. It's for deliverance. The blood helps us. We can testify of Jesus because of that blood that was shed at Calvary. You know, when we take communion, we say, "This is my body. This is the blood of Jesus." It's about the blood of Jesus. It all started with Jesus shedding his blood at Calvary. He died for you, for me, and for all of us. Our freedom is also because of that blood that was shed at Calvary. The blood of Jesus cleanses, it purifies. It's that blood that gives us boldness to come into his presence. Anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can come to him because of the blood. It doesn't matter how far from God you've strayed. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Remember, that blood is more precious, very precious. That blood that was shed at Calvary. His blood is so pure. And that's why it can cleanse and deliver us. Amen.